Hey everyone, my name is Bryce Rankins and you're listening to episode 13 of Sneaky Geek.
And welcome to another episode of Sneaky Geek.
Sneaky Geek!
Yay! It is almost time for The Last Jedi.
Yeah, it is. We're getting
very
close.
Very close. But we decided we wanted to, instead of giving you a review or talk about various theories, we wanted to get you prepared in a different way.
Yes.
So it's no secret that I am in love with Star Wars audiobooks right now.
Yeah.
They've been killer, but I also have a love of comics, and thankfully both of those are mediums with which you can get all caught up on the happenings of The Last Jedi.
Yeah, various Star Wars.
Oh yeah, and
this
is Brian Romero if this is the first time you're tuning in.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
So, here we are in the Room of the Champ, also
the
known as my brother.
Of the Champ.
It's magnificent.
It is.
Truly. And we've built a pillow for it to adjust our audio conundrum that we're regularly fighting because it's a little echoey in here. So here we are in our pillow fort reporting to you.
This is a pretty rad pillow fort, too.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, we'll get a picture. We'll post it up.
Yeah. Which will happen like a month before you even hear this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, you've compiled a list of everything.
I have. So with the last few Star Wars movies that have come out, Lucasfilm has put together Journey to... enter movie here.
Yeah, Journey to Rogue One, Journey to Force Awakens,
and now Journey to the Last Jedi. So what these stories do is they kind of help broaden your knowledge of what's going on in the movie. Maybe not so much in the movie, but the characters that are in the movie, some of the places, a little bit of backstory. So like with Force Awakens, we had Before the Awakening, which was a young reader book. Separating the three mini stories, one with Poe, Finn, and Rey. They were kind of cool. And then we also had,
for Force Awakens, we also had Lost Stars. Lost Stars was Journey to Force Awakens.
That's right, it was. Yeah, so Lost Stars was a Journey to Force Awakens book. We had an awesome story, which was basically, like Bryce put it, Hogwarts Star Wars style.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And on that note, not to get too detailed, but Claudia Gray also wrote Bloodline.
Yes, which is on my list.
Did she also write Dark Disciple?
No, that was Christy Golden. Let me double check this.
Yeah, it was Christy Golden.
Because I accidentally tagged the wrong one on Twitter. And, like, the other one corrected me. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She commented back. But she also, like, I feel it was also, like, 2 in the morning after, like, a 20-hour workday.
She's like, I didn't write this book.
Yeah. But she's like, thanks for thinking of me. And I'm like, you're super, awesome.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
What I love about Claudia Gray, and I noticed this earlier today while I was listening to Bloodlines while I was driving, Claudia Gray is a master of seeing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Lost Stars, you have two major characters, one who really actually believes in the Rebellion, and you have one that really believes in the Empire, and slowly you kind of come to a conclusion that's actually much more rounded than their evil and their good, which is really cool. And I'm noticing in Bloodline that she's doing the same thing with, not Ren Revan, he's the bad guy, Ransom and Leia, because Ransom grew up as the Empire was falling and kind of glorifies them, says, well, they're not all bad. And then Leia has this hard-nosed, the Empire was like, bad, they were completely
evil. She's been
in
it. She's been in the shit.
We need to be in a system where we can be held responsible by our people.
Right. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Like, it's still around. We're not going to be like the Emperor and like, the Jedi? What Jedi? There's no Jedi. Kill you. You mentioned Jedi.
Yeah, which is funny because they talked about Luke being a Jedi, and I'm like, shouldn't he be hiding? And I was like, oh, wait, that's every other book I've read up until now.
Yeah.
Because up until now, every other book I've read has been during the
Order
66 point.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
so,
that part, yeah.
From Order 66 all the way until, that 30-year period where Jedis are, you know, supposed to be in hiding. Now Luke's a Jedi, and nobody actually, he's not being prosecuted for it.
Right.
Which, never even thought about that.
Yeah.
But it's cool because he loves the concepts the concept of the Empire, of this all arcing thing that could take care of everybody. Mm-hmm. He wants this sort of father figure as the Empire. He thinks that if Palpatine hadn't made the mistakes he made and hadn't been corrupt. Meanwhile, Leia's like, bitch, this guy murdered an entire planet.
Yeah.
Like, and he calls the rebellion. He's like, well, they were necessary, but they were terrorists.
Right, right. You
know? And that's a weird, weird kind of gray area.
Oh, yeah, totally is. But you kind of look at it from that point of view and you're like, damn, that kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah, sometimes he does. Mm-hmm. And he has this idea, Ransom does, that, you know, there are things that the Empire did that were actually good for the for the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And shouldn't the Republic try to at least strive for some of those aspects and not just blanketly say that the Empire was 100% evil? Mm-hmm. And he talks about the Death Star and, of course, that old argument of blah, blah, blah. But these books are really complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really explore this universe.
This awesome.
From a very wide spectrum of
perspectives. Yeah, this, like, dynamic of different systems, all good stuff. So, anyways, back to what we were saying. We have Journey to Force Awakens. We had Journey to Rogue One with the Catalyst. Mm-hmm. And that was really good. It showed the lead up of the years. Jyn was like 1 or 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it focused on her parents. So that first scene in the movie where Jyn's mom dies was heartbreaking if you read that book.
Really?
And so it made it that much more,
more
just intense. Even the whole movie too.
Yeah. This last season of Rebels particularly has made all of the things that Saw does and the way Mon Mothma talks about him and stuff really makes you appreciate the person he is. Because when I saw Rogue One, I don't think I had even finished all of Clone Wars. And so, because I started Clone Wars at the beginning of this year, really.
Yeah.
And so when I saw him, I knew that he was a Clone Wars character and I knew that he had a history, but I didn't see him betraying members of the Rebellion for his own needs.
Yeah, and being getting crazy
really
hardcore.
Kind of a terrorist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't see him as this far extreme version of the Rebellion.
Right.
You just kind of see him, this man.
Yeah, and you're like,
talks like this.
What's going on?
You don't see him all injured and stuff like that. So it's nice to see him grow that
fleshed
way.
Out a little bit, and you kind of actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So Journey to Rogue One. So now it brings us to Journey to the Force Awakens. We already did that one.
Brings us to
The Last Jedi.
Yes.
So we talked about it a little bit before. First on my list is Bloodline. The big thing with this one, and again, we're not going into reviews. There's no real big spoilers here. Definitely, if you're interested, go check it out. Or if you're interested but don't have the time to read it, Wikipedia is a great source.
It is. It is a wonderful source. Yeah.
So Bloodline is really cool because it kind of shows the formation of the Resistance, because the Resistance is not the New Republic. It's very interesting how the New Republic is there. They're set up. The government's set up. Everything's running. And then there's inklings of the Empire getting back together. And they're like, no, it's totally not going on. And Leia's like, we should definitely look into it at least. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's cool.
Yeah.
And that is how the book kind of starts and gets itself going a little
bit. And it also shows that the creation of the New Republic was not perfect.
Right.
Politically speaking, they were in constant turmoil.
There's a couple different political parties going on. Mm-hmm.
There's a definite division and there's people coming in and creating crime syndicates that they're worrying about. And they're trying to kind of figure out how this is all going on. And what I also really like about it is that it is at a time when Leia and Han are still very much together.
Yes. So timeline-wise, this is 6 years before The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So this is fairly recent.
Well, here's a question then. Mm-hmm. If this is happening before The Force Awakens, why isn't there anything happening between Force Awakens and The Last Jedi?
Well, with the way the movies are set up, The Last Jedi picks up right when Force Awakens ends.
Like, handout.
Handout, lightsaber, Luke's going, what? And that's when that movie picks
Except
up.
We know that it's going to end in a title crawl and then a slow pan down to either a ship or a planet.
Yeah.
Because probably, that's every Star Wars has ever started. Yeah. This isn't just a lead up to The Last Jedi. This is also partially a lead up to The Force Awakens and Last Jedi as a combined story.
Exactly.
Unlike Empire, that happens a couple years after A New Hope.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's also cool in Bloodlines, I noticed, is that she does talk about stuff that happened between A New Hope and Empire.
Yeah.
Like Han kind of nurturing and guiding Luke into being this person.
Mentioning that Han's all into racing.
Yeah.
Space racing, which wasn't really known before or even in the old expanded universe.
Yeah.
There's a great Han Solo comic that focuses on it. It's really good.
Cool.
So that kind of finished up the Bloodline. Again, it shows the formation of the Resistance. It shows Leia noticing that the First Order something's going on. The remnants of the Empire are getting back together.
Right.
They're holed up in the unknown regions. The unknown regions, so we don't know what's going on.
We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, basically.
We got new helmets.
So that's what that book is there. Oh, another awesome point. The book itself was made from ideas from Pablo Hidalgo and a few others of the Lucasfilm Story Group, kind of all, the all-in-charge group of what's going to happen in the Star Wars universe, along with some notes from Rian Johnson, who wrote and directed The Last Jedi, along with that new trilogy that was just announced yesterday.
Yes. Did he write it already?
No, but I'm thinking The Last Jedi. He's conceptualized it, though. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's probably plot points in Last Jedi that's hinting on what's going to happen and what it's about.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so the book was made from everybody's notes, and she took all that into account, and actually Rian Johnson gave her notes to put in the book that references what's going to happen in Last Jedi. So it's going to be really cool to see that come together. Yeah, so moving on. Next, we're going Leia, Princess of Alderaan. So it's also by Claudia Gray. This one happens about 3 years before A New Hope. So Princess Leia is 16.
Okay.
She's just kind of...
Bail is still alive.
He's one of the main characters. He's awesome in there.
Bail Organa's a badass.
Right. Oh, yeah. So good.
So way before Princess Leia's storyline in Bloodline, mm-hmm. before she even meets Luke.
Right.
When she is still helping Bail form the rebellion.
That's the cool part about this book. This is when Princess Leia finds out about the rebellion and how...
Because he's been hiding this.
He's been hiding
since
it.
She was a child, which exactly. we learned in the Ahsoka book.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So again, if you're reading all this stuff, everything starts becoming interconnected. And it's beautiful.
I love it.
This focuses on Leia, but also her parents and their involvement in the rebellion. Also, it introduces Mon Mothma as kind of a sort of mother figure, but also just kind of a mentor to Leia, too, which is awesome. The book also introduces Laura Dern's character, which is Amelyn Holdo. Again, she meets him when they're kids back on Alderaan.
Wait, Jurassic Park Laura Dern?
Yeah.
Really?
One and the same, that one.
Is she in The Force Awakens?
No.
She's in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she's so awesome. The character is even better because it is basically Star Wars' version of Luna Lovegood. And she's goofy, and she's out there, but she's super smart. And at first, Leia's like, who is this weirdo? And of course, after a while, you're like, oh, she's got stuff going on. She knows what's up. And
the
old
Simon from Lord of the Flies, the crazy one's the one who figures it out first.
Right, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a very cool introduction with the character. Shows their friendship starting way back in the day.
Nice.
And which will come to fruition in The Last Jedi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yes.
Okay, so after we have... So first we got Bloodline. Then we go back real quick to Leia,
mm-hmm.
Princess of Alderaan. Then right. what?
So then we also had The Legends of Luke Skywalker.
That's exciting. What is that?
So this is a young reader book. It is six mini stories told by a group of characters that are traveling their way to a new place in The Last Jedi called Canto Bight, which is basically Casino Royale in Star Wars.
Yeah. Nice.
Super big casino. We don't know much about it other than it's a casino-like setting. You might have seen it a little bit in some of the previews. A lot of the aliens are there. But yeah, I haven't started this yet.
A sleazy cantina.
So this is going to be opposite. This is going to be super fancy, high-end casino stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So this is like Casino Royale.
Right. Right. So
a little of that happened in Bloodline with the Sabacc tournament.
Oh, right.
That she gets in there, which is super cool. Sabacc.
Yeah. So basically, this is six stories of legends of Luke Skywalker that no one's seen him in a while, but different people have heard different things of different things he's done.
This is rumors, though. This isn't necessarily a fully canon, fully canonized book. In that it's the only thing that's canon about it is these are things that people say within the universe.
Exactly.
Not necessarily what are happening.
Yeah. There's probably some truth to it. Obviously, that's how the legends and that kind of stuff works. But they could be just tall stories.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah. So, apparently, that's supposed to be pretty good, too. I haven't started it yet.
I know you bought it. I saw it on your desk yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I got it. Haven't started it. So, moving on. We have our Phasma books.
That's right.
Books. So, there's two of them. The main one is just Phasma, and that's kind of her story of how she left her home planet and wound up in the First Order.
Worked her way up.
Yeah, gotcha. Definitely. It was okay. I didn't love it.
Really?
Some of the backstory was really cool. The way they went about showing it and telling it, I was like, okay. It dragged on a little bit.
Mm.
She's very cutthroat. It was kind of cool to see that part of the character because you didn't see any of it in Force Awakens.
No.
And they mishandled her in that movie so bad. But that's another podcast altogether.
True story.
But the main thing the book establishes is she is a survivor. She will do anything to move up, get ahead, and stay ahead.
Which, they don't really have that character in this new trilogy in the way that they had in the last one. I feel like that was absolutely Han Solo.
Yeah.
You know, the dude's a smuggler of drugs.
Yeah.
Like he smuggled spice. He is wanted on several systems. Mm-hmm. He had bounties on his head by basically mafiosos who were mad at him. And we didn't necessarily have that gritty, you know, moving our way. Granted, this is not necessarily a hero. Phasma is the opposite guy's side. But it's cool to see that within those ranks, we have a character who isn't your uppity, you know, First Order, Imperial, soldier, Imperial officer status.
Oh, yeah, no,
you know?
She'll get dirty.
This is not a Grand Moff Tarkin aristocrat here. This is a gritty, dirty...
Oh, yeah, she came from basically post-apocalyptic planet trying to survive. And she did.
Her way out.
Yeah, so...
Well, she probably didn't write her way out. She probably killed her way out.
She did.
Okay. She killed her way out.
Our other Phasma book. This is the Phasma comic book.
Ah, okay.
Now, this is really cool because this picks up right when Han, Chewie, and Finn throw her in the garbage chute in Force Awakens. You know, when she went out kind of like a bitch, unfortunately. But picks up right after. It's a 4-issue series.
Of how she gets off planet.
Of how she gets off planet and gets back with the First Order's fleet after everybody's escaped the planet. It's really cool. The art is gorgeous in here.
Who is the artist?
So it's Marco Cicchetto.
Okay.
He's done a whole bunch of stuff with Star Wars in the past.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he did the Anakin and Obi-Wan book.
He's done Marvel Star
Wars
stuff.
He's done Marvel Star Wars stuff. Oh. He's been around and he's great.
Cool.
Highly, highly recommend that. Again, it's only 4 issues.
Yeah, that's an easy read.
They're out now. The trade, where everything's combined, is out at the end of the month.
At the end of November?
End of November. So
it should be available.
Should be available now if we're listening to this in December.
Yep.
Check it out. Good stuff.
Okay. So now we have a Leia prequel before A New Hope. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Leia Bloodline story.
Yeah.
Which we now have set up a couple of characters, including Leia. Mm-hmm. Then we moved over to Legends of Luke. What sort of things happened while Luke was getting ready and gearing up for his little Jedi Academy.
Yeah.
That is bound to go wonderfully, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That
totally.
Jedi Academy. Right. What could go wrong?
Yeah. The Jedi's starting back up.
What could
it's
go
gonna be
wrong?
Great.
And then after that, we have Phasma.
Yes.
And Phasma kills her way out and gets herself into the First Order. And then we watch Force Awakens. And then in that last scene, when Kylo Ren is punching himself in the chest a couple of times, we get to find out what was happening on the other side of the planet, where Phasma was getting herself out of a trash compactor.
Exactly.
And then?
And then that kind of wraps up the main journey to the Force Awakens stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So we get two stories that are basically Leia-centric, two stories that are Phasma-centric. So I'm really hoping that those two characters are some of the main focus of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, I really...
And also Luke, obviously.
Obviously. I want a Star Wars movie with lots of Luke and lots of Leia.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because word on the street was Episode 9 was supposed to be very heavy with the Leia. Mm. So we'll see what happens.
Rest in peace.
Now that Carrie's gone. So we have a few honorable mentions. First off, Rebels.
Dude, Rebels is so good.
It's been really good. So the reason I put Rebels on this list right now is because they're cranking out those episodes.
Yes, they are.
There's
two a week
up till...
the end of November.
End of November with... they're ending with one episode.
So it's going to end with just a single episode and it's going to be just a short one?
Sure, yeah.
Weird. I wonder why they're doing
that. I don't know. It's...
Well, hopefully it's a good one.
Yeah, but the reason, again... brings it back to the Last Jedi, and they're cranking out these episodes. They're trying to get them out before the movie's out. So I'm thinking something in there is going to make its way into the movie.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Right. Next up, we have From a Certain Point of View. This book is, I think it's like 40-some-odd stories.
Okay.
Mini stories that tell the story of Star Wars. A lot of stories in the story, you know.
The story of how the film was made or story of the like
characters. So they're side characters. So I'm like 7 or 8 stories in. So we've had stuff on the Jawas, like specific Jawas. We had it on R5-D4, the red droid, couple on Greedo, one of the bartender in Mos Eisley Cantina.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's pretty cool.
So they're kind of filling in the gaps that removing all of that stuff from the Legends did. Because
a lot of the stuff Legends didn't have stories on them. So,
but I mean, there was a story for the Doug in Attack of the Clones in the cafe. You know, there were these little stories that you knew. you know, through various like Wikipedia and
StarWars.com would put out some stuff on their hyperspace.
So it's cool that we have all that got wiped away. Mm-hmm. We don't have storylines for that when the Disney buyout happens, which we mentioned in that classic podcast.
Right.
So with this, I think it's really cool because we really don't have a story for Greedo or even the Rodians at all right now.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool that this is helping fill in. Some of the stories are more silly than others.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, but it's still, there's still some really good stuff.
A kid should be able to enjoy Star Wars just as much as we do.
I mean, it's
the reason we like it because it makes us feel like kids.
Yeah. And in fact, we started getting into it when we were kids. So we have that. I'm only like a third of the way in, but there's probably stuff that's going to mention something that's going to end up in Last Jedi. And if not, it's still just a great read anyways.
Yeah. Okay, so that's two honorable mentions. What's our third contender?
The Aftermath trilogy. Not my favorite set of books, but the story, the plots are pretty cool. Again, it's more set up for the First Order. It's all about the Empire crumbling and
scrambling for power.
And then you kind of get to see a backup plan come to fruition a little bit, and then them retreating, maybe not so much a retreat, they'll call it more of a strategic retreat,
right,
into the unknown regions, and that kind of sort of is where Bloodline picks up with the resistance in there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two.
Yeah.
If you're done with your list.
Yeah, I'm done with my list.
Okay,
what do you got?
So the two things that I think I really would recommend most people get as far as understanding this is, first, Lost Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Stars is going to get you through the entire trilogy of the original Star Wars.
And then
trilogy.
It ends with the Battle of Jakku.
Yeah, it ends with the Battle of Jakku, which sets you right up for The Force Awakens.
Right.
I mean, granted, the Battle of Jakku is not where The Force Awakens starts. It starts decades later.
25 years later.
But,
or 30-ish years. Yeah.
But getting all the way there gets you kind of back in the mindset of Star Wars. It's such a Star Wars-y book.
Oh, it really is. Yeah.
It's a great way to look at both sides, like I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows the power grabs that were happening after the Emperor was killed.
Right.
All these Moffs start showing up saying that they want power. There's all this infighting within the Empire.
Right.
And they really heavily discuss that, as well as what the Rebels will be doing as far as getting their new area set up. It kind of ends abruptly, and I really desperately want a sequel.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
It definitely got me in a super excited Star Wars mood.
Definitely.
The other thing that I'd like to bring up is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, that's right.
Is going to have a full storyline of what happened that is in canon after the Emperor was killed.
Yeah.
His contingency plan, how they all reacted to the fact that another Death Star was destroyed. Right. And
how much they lost so many resources with it.
All new characters being introduced.
Yeah. And some of it were in the Battlefront 2 Inferno Squadron book.
Right.
Which was out a couple months ago, which was pretty good. That happens just after the first Death Star blew up, but it picks up with these characters 4 years later, whenever it happens.
And the Death Star, it's so funny. We always talk about, the Death Star, they blew up and then they started their rebellion. But that's like the number one crime against the Empire that they all see. All the stormtroopers, all the officers, they all go back to, you blew up the Death Star.
There were millions of people on
Millions of people were on the Death Star. Granted, there were billions of people on Alderaan.
True.
They seem to keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
But their justification in it, which happens a lot in Lost Stars, is that destroying Alderaan was a way to say, you can't just come up and overthrow us this way.
Yeah.
That's not how things are done. It was in order to avoid a war. It was a preemptive strike.
Right.
And it's cool that they're like, and then you went and destroyed up the Death Star anyway, like you went and blew it up. And then when they blow it up the second time, like that's just, that's salt in the wound.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah.
Salt in the wound.
Yeah. Not a lot of salt, because at this point, the Empire's probably starting to lose their salt mining.
Yeah, they've ruined those planets.
Yeah, their resources are starting to drain.
That's the other thing about these books, the Lost Stars particularly, is it really shows the xenophobic and enslavement problems that are within the Empire in order for them to get their goals.
Yeah.
Also, A New Dawn definitely references that as well,
because
the entire thing is about a planet that's being mined into oblivion,
which
is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not on my honorable list. So we got Battlefront 2, Lost Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to ask you,
how
does this Forces of Destiny cartoon about all of the important characters in there? Because some stuff just happened in there that, if canon,
Yeah.
Gives us it a is little canon. Future. Okay, yeah, then that it gives show us some is canon. Yeah. Then okay, so I would recommend Forces of Destiny.
Yeah. It is. It's all on YouTube.
Animated a little weird, but you know what? It's cute, and if you have kids, like
oh, they'll love it.
They'll totally love it. Yeah. I know for a fact. I don't have kids, but I've recommended it to children, and they have replied with positive reviews.
Nice. So yeah, basically, it's a YouTube show. It shows 2 to 3 minute clips of all the females in Star Wars and little adventures that they have. There's team ups of stuff. Of characters you didn't even think about that would team up, and they're fan-friggin-tastic.
Oh, yeah. It definitely celebrates the women of that universe and shows totally. That they're really strong. Yeah. Which
and not only that, cool. but most of the actors, actresses who play the characters
Daisy come... Daisy voiced hers. Yes,
they do all the voices. So you have all the Rebels cast. Carrie Fisher didn't do it, but they got an awesome voice actress to play
and
her.
And it's all kind of half-narrated by Maz Kanata, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. Yeah. Please, you know, give us your opinion on what your favorite of these stories was. If you've read through them, I would love to know which one you think is probably the most important as well. Mm-hmm. And after the movie, we can discuss this even further.
Oh, and we will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll be talking about it forever. I mean, we talk about Star Wars way too much on this podcast as it is, but you know what? You love it.
Yeah, and we love it. So it's going to keep happening. But yeah, that's all we got for this week.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah.